You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
On today's episode of The Salisha Show.
I just get really excited. I get really excited about life. I get really excited about new people. I get really excited about, I don't know, going to the grocery store. Like, life excites me.
S to the A to the L to the Isha. Some call me Sally, others call me Seisha. If you don't like it, I'm gonna have to beat ya. Nah, I'm just kidding, y'all. Y'all, YNLL, I bet you all thought that Salisha couldn't spell, but now you know, and I got to go. Hey, it's time for the Salisha Show.
Hello, and welcome or welcome back to another episode of The Salisha Show. I'm your host, Salisha Thomas, and I'm so excited because I'm sitting next to one of my friends here. It's always a special thing when I get to sit down with one of my friends, and this one, oh my goodness, she is... I'm looking at you right now. I'm like, you are out of this world.
Oh, you're out of this
truly,
world.
Truly, from the moment I met you. Okay, all right, let me do your intro. Okay, she is a dancer like you would never believe, an actor and a singer, and unofficially a comedian. Okay? Today has performed off-Broadway in We Are the Tigers, Gigantic, and countless regional shows. She made her Broadway debut in Kristen Chenoweth's We Are the Girls. Congratulations. For the Girls. And is making a splash as one of the stepsisters in the new Britney Spears musical, Once Upon a One More Time. Please help me welcome my friend, Mimi Scardula.
Good morning. Hi. That was so sweet.
I love you.
I love you. I love you so much. You know that since day one.
Seriously, when we started rock and roll, I feel like the first time I met you, we were in a van on our way to Trader Joe's.
Yes. We were in a van on our way to Trader Joe's.
And you had Gypsy.
I did have Gypsy, yeah.
Your dog.
Who goes everywhere with me.
And literally, for those who are listening or watching, Andrew just took
her dog for a walk right now.
And I remember you having the biggest personality, and I discovered that within.
I'm not one to blend.
Yeah. You are truly one of a kind.
It just comes from, I just get really excited. I get really excited about life. I get really excited about new people. I get really excited about, I don't know, going to the grocery store. Like, life excites me.
Have you always been, like, were you that kid?
Yeah. I've always been larger than life, and always. I just think that I deeply love to connect with things and people. So, like, I've been a huge lover my whole life. And so being an actor is so exciting because we're constantly connecting with new people. Like, magical things like this happen where I met you 3 years ago and now we get to do this again.
And now, we're in the same dressing room again.
And that's amazing. But then also, like, I get to meet and connect with a whole slew of new people that I love that.
I love
that
too. It
gets me so excited. I love people, and I'm a baby. I'm the second child in my family.
I'm a baby too.
Yeah, exactly. We tend to be larger than life because we tend to, like, compete for the attention
of
our family.
Is that what it is?
Well, yeah, it's typical that babies tend to have bigger personalities because there were so many people that came before them, so they wanted to make their own mark.
Like, hello.
I'm here. I'm equal in this family.
How old is the? How big is the gap between you?
5 years.
Mine is 6.5.
Yeah.
So one of the things that I love about you is one of the many things. That I love about you is that you really are, it comes naturally for you to bring people together.
Mm-hmm.
And you do that in our cast a lot. You even got us, mine's not in the room right now. You did those beanies, right?
Yeah, me, Tess, Brooke, and Briga.
Okay, for those who, like, don't know or can't see, I don't even have it on me right now, but, like, they made these bright green beanies with everybody's character name on them. And I was in the balcony with the other swings. I was like, I see the whole cast come out on the stage with like these matching beanies. I'm like, wow, that's so cool.
Like she would think I wouldn't get her one. So drama over here.
I was like, wow, that's awesome. And then they were like, hello, come get yours.
Yeah, it was, I think it was the closest I'll ever come to feeling like Oprah. It really was. Like,
you get a beanie.
Like, it really was that. We did this funny, let me break the ice, allow me to get you right. When you warm up to me, baby, I can make you feel hot. As like, telling like to keep warm with beanies. And then we were like, we got everyone beanies. Literally, like, people cried. Oh, they were so excited. I missed that moment. We could have coordinated it so much better.
It's so good.
But Brooke had ran from here with the beanies in her in her hand. And it was like, I felt bad. Brooke was trying to go on a run. And so we were like, we got to do it now.
But tears,
like people crying.
Oh my God. I love it because we saw the group chat and Diana was like, looks like there's a party in our dressing room. We're like, oh, okay. And it's pretty great. Yeah. And then also Thanksgiving.
Oh yeah,
the amenity room, it brought us all together.
I like truly love that. I love making people feel included and seen and welcomed and giving them a space to be themselves. And when I teach a class or when I'm in a cast, like I have felt outside of that sometimes. And so it's my goal from the top to the bottom to just make everyone feel seen. And now we don't need to be buddy. You don't need to be at my apartment having a good time till 4 a.m. But I want, that was never in my community plan, but it's fun.
Sometimes.
It's been fun to be a party house.
A party house.
But it is. I want everyone to feel seen and loved every day when they come to work. Because the thought of someone not, like, really breaks my heart.
Yeah.
So it comes from my whole life. I've wanted everyone to feel included and seen and loved. And you know.
I've never taken one of your dance classes, but from everybody who I know who's taken one of your dance classes, they say the same thing, that you cultivate a very safe environment.
Mm-hmm. That's my goal. That's my goal for you too. Because I think
like it's fun.
Yeah. So much of this industry, so much of the college musical theater programs are trying to put people in boxes. And by doing that, they're teaching so many people that you're not a dancer. You're a mover. You're not a dancer. And I hate that word mover. Everyone is a dancer.
I literally put it on my business cards, singer, dancer, mover. And people were like, what you gonna move my furniture?
Exactly. It's like so silly. It's like everyone is a dancer. And I think because we believe what we hear.
Yeah.
Especially in college, we're such sponges. And like,
yes.
I'm a little shit, excuse my language, but I put on the blinders and my cotton in my ears and I don't listen if I don't think it serves me. But a lot of people don't have the awareness to do that. And so they sit there and they listen to this, you're not a dancer, you don't need to worry about dance. Then they get to the city and they realize like, even shows come from away, which is a small, like very sing act show. They're still dancing in that.
Yeah.
And you can't have this like,
I'm not a
relationship with dance, because then you're going to bring that energy into work. Mm. And who wants to feel like that at work?
Yeah, I've definitely absolutely been there.
So all I want is to make a dance class where you can come, you can be exactly as you are. I make you look at yourself in the mirror and say, with great love and respect, I welcome you with all my heart. You say that to yourself. And you say, everything that you are today and everything that you are not today, I love and I celebrate. Mm. And I'm gonna do this and I'm gonna fail and it's gonna feel great and it's gonna feel awful and we're gonna do it together.
Mm.
And you have to accept your body right where it is. And then people have an amazing time in my class.
Right.
And it's like,
and you accept.
You just accept and celebrate, especially after this year of COVID, to be able to move, whether it's good, bad, right technique, wrong technique, whatever. You get to move, you get to stand. Like, oh my God, your body is this like magical unicorn thing that does so much for you.
Right.
No one should ever teach you to put that thing down. Because it's so amazing.
It's like we grow up learning shame, the opposite of confidence.
Uh-huh.
And if we could just keep, I feel like us as children are exactly who, and then we learn how to be embarrassed. We learn how to be self-conscious.
Yes.
It's annoying.
And then with that self-awareness, with everything, that fits into good things. Like we are aware. I'm like, oh, maybe I shouldn't do this. But like, I don't mean, when I have kids, I just want them to just soar at all moments. Tasmanian devils,
they're gonna
mixed
be
with unicorns, mixed with glitter factories. Like, they could be, or maybe I'll get the opposite of me and I'll be like, I don't know what to do with you. But
he just wants to read a book in the corner. Just
but you know
quiet.
What? But I'm gonna be the parent that I'm like, oh, you love books? Okay, we're building a library. You're gonna have a full library. And
you're gonna be the librarian of New York City.
Yes. I'm gonna be like, whatever you want, go, do, be. And just like, I'm just gonna let them be. Keep them safe, but let them be.
Okay, before we move on from this, I wanted to ask, actually, I just thought of it while you were talking. What's it like as a dancer working with Keone and Mari?
Okay, I have loved Keone and Mari for so long in my life. I love them. I would watch their videos. Like, I would be like, oh my God. Like, I remember watching their Bob Marley Is This Love video of them as old people.
Oh yes, I saw
it's
that
an amazing
too.
Video.
It's really great.
And I would watch it, and one, I would be like, oh my God, they're married. That's the love I want in my
right?
life. And so then, oh my God. And then I would just be like, the way their ears, I always talk about a dancer's ears, a choreographer's ears.
What?
The way they hear music is just so delicious. And it's, oh my God, those ears. Like, I always would watch and I'd be like, okay, I have to listen for things that I never, that's past that I want, that I notice.
Wondered,
you know?
For our show, is Keone being like, we're going to add in this thing to hear in the music, or is he adding kicks into the music for, do you know?
I don't know. It works different ways. Like I know Susan Stroman works in the way that, like, she, the arrangement's there, and then she'll be like, okay, I need a snare there. Can you give me a pop here?
Because the pops are also big in our show.
They're amazing. But also there's incredible arrangers who you start to do something and they're like, oh, I'm at a flourish, because that's obviously, and the next day you show up and there's a flourish there.
Wait,
so I don't know
what they're sitting there doing?
Yeah. Sometimes, like,
oh my God.
I don't know how they did these arrangements, but I would be curious to ask Keone. But it's so funny being in this show, I really do none of their choreography. And my little heart is so like, oh, I just want to hit the step. I just want to.
You got some chore.
I have some stuff.
Toxic. You're up there like.
Yeah. But like, I want to do like Keone and Mari bread and butter. I want to do that.
That's funny that you like knew who they were and watched them before, because if I did that,
you might not have shown up.
Oh before. No, I would not have come to the audition.
But you're killing it. I can talk about you for a second in that I was Celicia's dance captain in Heart of Rock and Roll.
You're
and
still Celicia, me dance captain in my phone.
And I mean, Celicia's always amazing. Celicia's always, I'm going to get it. But there was just like such a, oh my goodness.
The whole time.
And I was like, you're great. You're doing so well. And when I tell you, and maybe you just didn't show it to me, but in Once Upon a One More Time, you have been in that room. You're like, I'm doing it. There was no like, I don't know. You were just like, I'm in it. I'm learning it. Doing it. And if I need to practice it 5 times, I'm going to practice 5 times, but I will get this. And it was like such a beautiful growth, like to see that growth,
you know,
and to see that self-confidence. It was beautiful.
It's interesting, like the process. And I don't want to say anything like negative about one thing or the other, but it is a difference. Like walking into Once Upon a One More Time being like, Alicia, you have 10 roles to learn. You don't have time to be self-conscious. You don't have time to look like, to worry about what you're looking like, because you will get fired if you have to just go for
it. Sometimes the job gets you there. Maybe
I would literally finish pre-COVID. We would finish rehearsals and I would go get a practice room for 2 hours. And the first 10 minutes would be me crying and be like, I can't do this. Like, literally, I did the robot in the audition. I was like, I'm not a dancer.
Just like to really send it home.
To send it home. They were like, great, so that's going to be our swing.
They probably loved you so much.
What the actual heck?
But that's the most magical thing about you, Alicia. Like, you step in every single time you step in for a new part, you immediately get the comedy of the role. You immediately get the tone. It's different than when you stepped in for the other person the day before. Right. It's literally, you're a chameleon. Like but it's always Celicia. It's like a Celician.
Oh.
Like, it's, you are yourself, but you can pop into these roles and hit. It's just, it's amazing.
You know what? Thank you. I hope I get the opportunity to play Stepsisters with you one day.
That'll be trouble. Honestly, they'll get that big old hook and hook up. Yes.
You guys are so funny. And like, was it easy? Was it hard finding your rhythm as Belinda?
Yeah, I got this job a little later than you would usually get a show. I auditioned at 3 p.m. on a Wednesday.
She's saying the actual time.
Got the job at 5 p.m. on that Wednesday, no. Started rehearsal on that Monday. It was the craziest day of my life, the most magical day of my life. Oh my God, that could be another podcast. It's an amazing story.
Okay. I feel like
I have been trying to get seen for Once Upon a One More Time for 4 years.
What? Much.
I wanted to get seen. Two of my best friends played Belinda, and I was like, oh my God, I should be in that ensemble and be your cover. That should be my track. And so I would always ask my agent to submit me for the ensemble, cover Belinda. Submit me for cover Belinda. I wanted to be in the ensemble for the show. I love Britney Spears. I love her. My parents owned a business where she grew up, and so I love her.
That's awesome!
I love her. And so I was like, it's going to happen. My agent was like, they won't see you. 4 years. Cut to the Chicago production is coming. A friend of mine reached out and was like, Mimi, I hear they still can't find Belinda for Once Upon a One More Time. You need to ask your agent to reach out. And I was like, I've done that every time. Like, they obviously don't. This is obviously not my show. Like, they don't want to see me. I try every time they audition. Like, it's not happening. And so I reach out to my agent and I'm like, Irene, I know we talk about this every time. I've heard this. I don't know if it's true or not. Maybe we can do some digging. And she was like, Mimi, I always submit you, but okay. Mm-hmm. And so then I didn't hear about it for 2 weeks. So I had assumed that she tried and didn't have. I was supposed to be in the Tick Boom movie as a dancer.
Oh, that's
and nice. I had a fitting in Brooklyn.
Deep, deep Brooklyn.
Great. 1 o'clock. And so I wake up, I was like waking up at 9 just to get myself together. I had to have my hair a certain way and all that stuff. And I get a text from my agent that says, Mimi, Britney wants a tape by noon.
Oh,
and I
was like, by noon?
I was like, who's Britney? What tape? She was like, the Britney musical wants you to tape for Belinda by noon. And I was like, she was like, can you do it? And I was like, yeah, I can do it. I'll get ready right now.
My God.
And so then I'm like, okay, is it sides in a song? Is it just a song? What is it? She was like, I think it's just sides. Hold. So I'm like, okay. I like get my coffee. I'm like, all right, I'm going to do a tape. I'm like taking my art off the walls to get a blank wall. I'm like,
literally.
And she calls me back. She calls me. I go, hello. And she goes, okay, Mimi, they want to see you in person now at 1 o'clock. And I was like, okay, I love not making a tape, but like I have this. No, they want to see you in person at 2:30. And I was like, I have that fitting in Brooklyn at 1. There's no way I'll make it. She's, this is what you're going to do. You're going to get yourself together for the audition. You're going to go early to at 11 for your fitting. And they're just going to see you. They're going to have to see you. And then you're going to come and do this audition. And I was like, oh shit. Okay. So then I like get myself ready. I like go to print out my sides. On my way to print out my sides, she calls me. She goes, Mimi, never mind. They want to see you at 4.
Okay.
And I was like, okay. That makes me feel better. So essentially I go, in the car on my way to the fitting in Brooklyn, I'm like looking over the lines.
Oh my gosh, I'm literally stressed.
I'm looking over the lines and I go, I do this fitting for this feature film. Like I'm so excited about it. And then I like get back in the car. I'm like, I'm going over my lines. I'm figuring it out. And then I go home. I only told one person I got this audition, my best friend, Tyler Haynes. Cause I knew, I said, If I tell everyone and I don't get it, I'll be really sad.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I told Tyler and I FaceTimed him to do the scenes. And he was like, Mimi, you're trying to be this when you are this. Like, these are things that you would say. And I was like, you're right. And he was like, just have fun. Just go in there and be yourself.
I'm
like,
okay. Oh, that's great advice.
Yeah. And so I go to the audition. It's me. It's another girl from LA. And then it's Lindsay Nicole Chambers, who is in Heart of Rock and Roll with us.
Yeah.
And just the comedy in that is that I look like me. And Lindsay Nicole Chambers is petite. She's small. She's got red curly hair. And it's a very big age difference. So we were like, what are they looking for?
Right.
And no one really had an updated version of the script. I didn't know how my scenes fit into the
context of the show.
Yeah. So Lindsay goes first. She comes out. She leaves. The other girl goes in and she's, I haven't done musicals in years. I literally came from LA to do this. And so she goes in, she leaves. And then I go in. And then David, our creative consultant.
David LaVoe.
Yeah, because Keone and Mari were doing Babel, Beyond Babel, and couldn't be at my audition. So it's David, Susan, I think JV, and then the assistant. And I go and I walk in and David goes, oh my God, I love your bow. It's just fabulous. I was wearing this big pearl bow and I go, oh, thank you. I thought it looked nice. And then Susan goes, oh my God, your shoes. I was wearing silver, like pure glitter shoes.
Amazing. And also your house shoes right now look amazing. How dare you?
And I go, oh, thank you. He goes, yeah. I go, yeah, guys, like, I really like to blend in. I do not like to stand out. Pearl bow, sparkle shoes.
Right.
And the whole room laughed. And I was like, okay, I've got them. And so I do the scenes. They laugh so loud at my comedy scenes. There used to be this really great scene at the end, the wedding. Oh, whatever. There's a wedding.
It's okay. It can be anybody.
Yeah, it can be anybody. Where I had this like monologue. And when I said it, like they touched they leaned forward and touched their heart. And it was just like really beautiful. I was like,
that's the thing. I feel like with this audition process, it seemed like a very energetic audition.
Yeah, it was amazing. And so it was so cool. And so I was like, I've never felt that. So I walk out, they're like, Mimi, can you wait outside for a second? And I was like, sure. I walk out and I'm pacing. I have so much energy, much energy rolling through my body. And this sweet old lady is, did it not go well? And I was like, no, it went really well. Like I've never felt something go that well before.
Oh my God.
I don't know what's gonna happen. And so they call me back in. And David is sitting at his little chair and he goes, Mimi, we all agree that was wonderful. And it's not often that happens. And yeah, and in my head, I'm like, he's gonna say, but there's a but we want you to be the understudy, but we don't know, not right now. But, and he goes, so will you join us on Monday? And I was like, oh, what? Yeah, I'll join you on Monday. I start crying. They stand up and clap. It was like an American Idol audition.
They just told you in the room?
In the room.
Wait, were the other girls outside the room?
No, they had already left.
Oh my God.
They had already left. And they were like, so they, I got the job. I leave. I give everyone a hug. I leave. I call my agent and I was like, Irene, I got it. And she was like, you what?
What?
And I was like, they offered it to me in the room.
In the room.
They offered it to me in the room. And I was like, what did I get? Is it a workshop? And she's like, no, you're doing the pre-Broadway run in Chicago. And I was like, what?
God is so good.
And then I walked down 9th Avenue crying my eyes out. I told my mom, I told my dad, I told my sister. They were like, why didn't you tell us you were auditioning? And I was like,
because it was so bad. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah, it was, that is a once in a lifetime experience. It's a once in a lifetime. I don't know if I will ever have that special of a moment again. And I think about it every day. I think about God and I think about the fact that like for 4 years I tried and tried and then he was like, I'll give it to you when you're ready.
In the freaking room.
And I think that at the beginning of, what was it, 2020, I had such a rebirth of self. I was really feeling so confident in myself. I had come out. I had felt really secure in who I was.
Oh, yeah.
And I was just, I was going through life abundantly. I was truly living in abundance. Mm-hmm. I was like, I was seeing my friends. I was going out. I was taking chances that I wouldn't normally have taken. And I was like, I see. And I thank God every night for the magic that this
Whoa,
is.
You know? I feel like that is another episode. When you're living your best life, all the things that you want just start to gravitate towards you.
It's living in abundance. If you're living in scarcity, like, I don't have auditions, I don't have this, I don't want that, I don't want this.
You start to see a decline.
You do, but if you're living in the abundance of, oh my God, I do have this.
And you're not worried about the how of things, you're just...
Things
enjoy,
come.
They just come. It's literally like to those who are given, more will be given or something.
Yeah.
It's like the rich get richer, the poor get poorer. If you're living in scarcity,
yeah,
you'll things
the
start to drain
from you.
The universe,
God feels that. Yeah, it's literally, it goes back to this little light of mine. I'm gonna let it shine.
Oh my God.
I think when you're living in scarcity, you're putting the light under the bushel.
Yeah.
When you're living in abundance, you're like letting it shine. You're like, I'm here, I'm ready, let's do it.
Oh my God. Okay, so we're going to wrap up soon. I literally could talk to you for
forever. But long story short, back to your actual question, how have I been finding Belinda?
Remember that question?
Yeah, I remember that one. At first, I think I was really nervous because
the two women who played her before me are dear friends of mine and brilliant comedians. And so I was like, okay, I think when we were first in it, I was trying to be then. I felt like I was putting on someone else's shoes. And having the time away from it during COVID and coming back to it, I really came back to it as this is me.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be me. And so this second round, I found so much more freedom with her. And I love her just as much as I loved her before. I love her even more.
We talked about this a little bit in the dressing room last night.
Mm-hmm.
But what does it mean to you to chart a path? You were talking about charting a path for other Mimis.
Yeah.
You're trailblazing.
It means a lot to me. I think I watch the Tonys every year, and there's maybe one or two fat people, and they're stereotypically men, because fat men are more palatable than fat women and in this industry. And I look at the Tonys, it's one or two. 2 years ago, there wasn't a single fat body on the Tonys. I look at the opening numbers they do for Jimmy Fallon, and there's not a single fat body in there. And all they're doing is like a jazz square step touch, maybe a single pirouette. And it's like,
I love that you just,
it's like, and because people will say, oh, I can't find someone that can do it. And I'm like, there are people of size that can do that stuff.
Yeah.
You just have to open your circle. And they're like, I don't know anyone. And I'm like, that's what, like, in the, in through my response to that question is, look at me, look at the people I surround myself with. I see beautiful plus size women that are so multi-talented every day.
Wow.
And part, I do this for me. I do this because I love this, and it's the only thing I could ever see myself doing. But I do this, I put myself in spaces because I want people to see the possibility of a fat body, of a possibility that there is no weakness, because often we walk into the room and we're seen as weak just by the size of our body. We're seen that we're not going to be good enough to do it. And I want to take weakness away from what a fat body can do. A fat body is not weak. There's like, my first show in the city was gigantic, and it was all these plus size people who were dancing their butt off and acting and singing and dancing. It was just, it were amazing. And so I want to see more of that. I want to see more of this amazing production of Beauty and the Beast at the Olney, where there's like a plus size Belle. There is no reason. Yeah. She's this beautiful plus size African-American woman. And I'm like, that's amazing.
What?
And I want to see that. I want to see fat people falling in love. I want to see fat people in a show where they never talk about the fact that they're fat. In this show, no one ever talks about the fact that I am fat. There is not a joke about me eating food. There's not a joke about food. Like, the one time I have food in the show was my idea, because it was just like the moment to do it. And it was, that's what I want. I want more creatives to take a second and be like, oh, you. Like, I just went through the audition process for Six. And when I say that room was the definition of diversity.
Whoa.
We're talking every race, every size, every gender identity was like female and non-binary and trans. It was like age. It was beautifully diverse. And it was like,
I'm so here for this.
It was so beautiful. And I'm like, this is what people want to see. Like, I want to ride the subway and see the people in the subway. And then I want to go to a Broadway show.
And
I want to see the people I saw on the subway.
On the stage.
On stage.
I feel that way about textured hair, about color.
Yes.
It's like the diversity.
We
want to see ourselves.
We're all in this together.
Yes.
It's, we all want a chance. And like, it breaks my heart every year when I see the Tonys and there's nobody big, because it, while I'm living the dream and I'm in the dream, I don't see it on our biggest stage. And it breaks my heart because there's a little girl in Louisiana or Fresno or Jersey that is bigger, and all she wants to do is be on Broadway. And she sees that the biggest stage in the Broadway world, and there's no one that looks like her.
Yeah.
So then that
she's
picks,
questioning.
Yeah, she's questioning.
Can she do it?
Or she gets into the toxic idea that she has to lose weight to do this.
Mm.
Or she gets unhealthy or something happens. It's like, no. It's like, you don't, that's not what you have to do. I look at Hamilton. It's an amazing show. It's beautiful. They love to throw fat men in that show. But have you ever seen a fat woman in that show?
Mm.
Ever? No.
Dang.
No one above a size 8. And maybe there are, but that's a generalization.
Wow, memes.
It's, you see it all over the place. And so I want fat women on stage.
Let's
fat people
freaking go.
We can do it.
I Literally, I have so much love for you and so much respect for you. And I know that Andrew's gonna walk in here with your dog, but I do wanna acknowledge that today, the day that we're recording this, even though this won't be released today, is Britney Spears' birthday.
Happy birthday, Brit!
Happy birthday, Brit! We love you! Literally, it's so freaking cool to be in a show about somebody who, like, we grew up with. I freaking love.
She was my first concert.
Your what?
Yes. That was my first concert with Britney Spears.
I'm so jealous.
It was amazing.
Mine was mine.
It was amazing. I only remember like flashes of it because I think I was like 6 or 7.
That's so cool.
But I just remember like flash pictures of it.
Here it is. Hold on. Oh, here they are.
Hi, pumpkin. Hi, mama.
She's like, I've never been on such a long walk before.
And so now we've just been joined by the famous Gypsy Rose Lee. Oh my. And with that, I will say thank you so much for joining me. How can people find you, Mimi?
I am pretty much at Mimi Doula everywhere. And as in everywhere, Instagram.
I love you. Thank you so much. And
I love you. This was so lovely. Oh, we could have done this for so long.
But honestly, though, we might have a part 2.
I feel like you didn't really ask a lot.
I literally didn't get to any of my notes. So great. All right. Until next time.
Bye.
Bye.
That wraps another episode. Thanks for listening to The Salacia Show. See you next week, and don't be shy. If you love the show, please tell me why. Please rate, subscribe, and leave a review. Go one step further, tell a friend or two. Check out my site if you think it was the bomb. Pay a visit to SalaciaThomas.com. One last thing before I relax. Shout out Josh Carey, and thanks, Podmax.
I'm out.
'Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.